We have great wealth today in all the texts and in the feast day of St. Benedict. Now, July 11th, used to be March 21st, first day of spring. And the death of Benedict was the beginning of springtime for Europe. And that's why he's the patron of Europe, patron saint of Europe. We have in Hosea the conclusion of the whole prophecy. And it's an invitation again to Israel to come back. Take with you words. What words? The words I'll give you. I'll teach you how to repent if you come to me. And I can pierce your heart so that you really understand what sin is in a way that doesn't devastate you. It gives you courage to come to me. Let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. That's the editor's conclusion, as it were. In the gospel, we go on with the instruction to the apostles, to the missionaries, the ones sent out. I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. That doesn't sound so happy, does it? You're going out, and you're going to be like little sheep, and there's going to be wolves all around you. But don't worry about it. I am with you. And the advice of our Lord gives is be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. I, for a long time, I prayed about those words. What does that mean? I'm not sure I get it all, but I think part of it is have self-knowledge. If you know who you are, and you know your multiple and complex motivation, then you know what's going on in everybody else's heart. So don't be stupid. At the same time, if you're really with me, you know my power to change your heart. That's the same power that can change anybody else's heart. So be direct and simple and loving, because I can use you to change other people's hearts. And then they'll believe in me. And so, and when it happens, don't worry. Now, Saint Benedict, which is the third big topic of our time here, was a remarkably graced person. I mean, it's hard for us sometimes to realize, you know, these saints, this man, you know, to whom Europe owes its greatness more than to any other one person, and I'm sure is praying like crazy for some restoration of that faith and that humanity that made Europe great. That's why our present Pope took his name. He has a brother, a Benedictine, you know, the Pope. And he has great respect, as the Germans always do. They have great love for Benedict. And to restore Europe. Now, the essence of the Benedictine spirituality is humility. That's the heart of it. In fact, chapter 7 is on the 12 degrees of humility. St. Bernard later on writes a treatise on the 12 steps of pride. He said, I can't write about humility, but I can tell you, I can tell you how to go the wrong way. Don't do this, you see. It's interesting, you see, what he says about humility. You know, we're all into self-actuation, and he's saying, forget that. You know, be God-actuated. Huh? The first step of humility, then, is that a man keeps the fear of God always before his eyes and never forgets it. He must constantly remember everything that God has commanded, keeping in mind that all who despise God will burn in hell for their sins, and all who fear God have everlasting life awaiting them. In other words, when he says a little later on, the first step of humility is oblivionem omnino fugiat, that he would flee all forgetfulness. Who are you? Where is your life going? What does death mean? What are you here for? These are not the questions we ask ourselves every day. We want to know, you know, what's the price of butter? Who won the game last night? You know, whatever. And he says, oblivionem omnino fugiat. Flee all forgetfulness. Get real. Live at the center of reality, not on all this sort of superficial stuff. And that's the first step. You know? He guards himself at every moment from sins and vices of thought or tongue or hand or foot or self-will or bodily desire. Let him recall that he is always seen by God in heaven, that his actions everywhere are in God's sight and are reported by angels at every hour. In other words, get real. This is reality. We are created by God. God is aware of us at every moment and wants us to be holy. He teaches us. He gives us the body and blood of his Son. He has his Holy Spirit dwell in us so that we can be holy. And so he goes through. There are places in this rule where you see the humanity of genuine holiness. The wise old man at the gate who knows how to receive a word and give it. You don't put a dunce out there because he's going to represent the whole monastery. You don't put a fellow there who's going to wander around while he's got, gets bored out there when nobody comes, so he goes downtown and plays pinochle or something. No, no, you want somebody who's going to stay there and be ready. And I could tell you story after story of some of those holy old men at the gate there. The only contact people have with the monastery. And what their words have done to change lives. It's amazing. And he goes through all the different, you know, the abbot. I'm going to read a little bit about that in a minute. But the abbot, you know, everybody calls him Abbas. That means father. So be a father. And how does he do that? Let him so organize things that the weak are not discouraged and the strong are encouraged to do more. Now that takes great wisdom, doesn't it? It takes great wisdom. Don't exhaust the weak, you know. But then, don't make it like, you know, so that those who are strong, who love the Lord, who could give a lot to him, they should be encouraged to go for it. See the wisdom? And there are funny old things in here, too. Well, this isn't so funny, but one, a man comes to the door, wants to be a monk. Let him stay out there for 3 days. Let him knock for 3 days out there. Let him show, let this guy know this is serious. We're not that hard up for people that we just take anybody. And when he comes in, let him be assigned to a wise old man who can discern and see what's moving this guy. And what's the key? Si vere Deum querit. Is he really looking for God? Is he preoccupied with God? Does he's bugged by God? He wants to find God. That's the guy who'll stay. I'm saying all these things, you see, because in our day, while those great, beautiful monasteries, you know, and some of them are doing beautifully, but a lot of this has moved now to the community life of lay people. Well, they have a whole different life. They're going to be raising kids. They got to make money. But these principles are the ones that will guarantee that whether or not these communities will rebuild the church or not. See, it's not a hobby. And it's this wisdom. You know, in the morning prayer every day, oh my goodness, already. The morning prayer, come let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us, that invitatory, they call it. Benedict says that's sung every morning. And it's sung, you know, at the time you get up, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, depending on the season for them. Let it be said a little bit slowly so that the latecomers will get there for the rest of the office. And that's amazing, isn't it? You see, it's not, it's what a pater does, you see. Moderates things. So the strong, they'll be there ahead of time. And the weak, they'll just about make it if you say it slowly. But they see, what you learn after a while is, you see the weak coming up the other side of the valley. 15 years this guy has been bringing up the rear, and all of a sudden the Lord touches his life and he takes off. So don't go too hard on him. And then, and this is the last thing, the last chapter in the rule is that all perfection is not in this rule. This is a beginning. But then, the next to last chapter, chapter 72, is on good zeal. And he says, this is what we pray for. Zeal. It's zeal that gets you out of bed. It's zeal that teaches you how to forgive. It's zeal that keeps you working. It's zeal that says, forget about vacations. You're going to be dead in a few years. Get going. Just as there is a wicked zeal of bitterness, which separates from God and leads to hell, so there is a good zeal, which separates from evil and leads to God and everlasting life. This, then, is the good zeal which monks must foster with fervent love. They should each try to be the first to show respect to the other. Number one, community. Number one, be the first one to show respect. Don't wait for somebody else to show respect to me. Show respect. Supporting with the greatest patience one another's weaknesses of body or behavior. Guy drives me nuts. Okay, love him. Maybe you're driving the Lord nuts. You see the wisdom. And earnestly competing in obedience to one another. No one is to pursue what he judges better for himself, but instead what he judges better for someone else. To their fellow monks, they show the pure love of brothers. To God, loving fear. To their abbot, unfeigned and humble love. Let them prefer nothing whatever to Christ. And may he bring us all together to everlasting life. Now, those words have, you know, produced more saints than any other rule. And you see how eminently attractive they are? They're beautiful. Today, in our own day, this movement, you see, is what's moving communities. And now the Pope has said, you know, he's going to have a big meeting in Assisi with bishops to start really taking these communities seriously. He, called Benedict, with a brother of Benedictine, sees this is where it's at today. These are the communities. And they have to learn to live this way, married with kids and all the rest.